Hello, and welcome back to Sunday Sermon Burst. My name is Stephan De La Cruz, and I am the friend of God. Today, I will be your pastor. I continue with No Longer a Servant, Part 2. I will address Paul's desire to teach the Galatians that they are no longer a servant, no longer a slave. Our verse for today is found in Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Now in verse 7, it reads like this: "You are no longer a servant, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir." Paul was speaking to the Jews and Gentile Galatians. Christianity was new to the world, and the people who converted to Christianity, both the Jews and the Gentile, were called followers of the way. Back in the time of Paul, the movement of Christianity was called the way. And this movement was in its infancy. It was very difficult for those who converted from the Jewish faith to give up what they had been taught for centuries. And it was just as difficult for the Gentiles who followed other gods, pagan gods, to leave behind their traditions. The Jewish Christians held on to the laws of Moses as their salvation. The Gentile Christians were holding on to pagan gods and their practices. The Jews and Gentiles that had converted to Christianity still believed that ceremonies, traditions, observing times, days, and seasons would make them holy before God. Now, you may think that things today are out of control. Men choosing to be women and women choosing to be men, even going as far as to say they have no sexual identity, that they're non-gender. It may seem the world has lost its mind and anything goes. If you think things are messed up in today's society, try living in a society that worship pagan gods. People back then did as they pleased, even to the extreme. Children were sacrificed to these pagan gods that they worship, selling people like cattle and owning servants and slaves was a normal way of life. This was going on every day. Now, that's what was done openly. Can you imagine what they did when no one was watching? We don't have it any worse than the people of that time. Those people were born into slavery. They were servants that had no choice. Not only were they servants to masters and kings, there was no redeemer to save them from the consequences of sin. But you and I, we don't know what it's like to be born into slavery or to be born a servant. In fact, we have hope now because of Jesus Christ. Now remember, you were purposed for such a time as this. God has placed you where He needs you. And I want to encourage you to be strong and courageous, even with everything that is going on around you, in your country, in this world. Instead of pulling back and pulling away from it, engage it, get involved, continue to go to work and hold your position so that people see that there's a difference in you. You have everything you need right now to fulfill your destiny. While other Christians are praying for Jesus to return and take them from this world and take them from this mess, I want to encourage you to stand your ground and stay where God has placed you. Put your hands to the work God has given you. Let us work while there is still daylight. This is what Jesus said. Join me as I continue this series, No Longer a Servant. Do you remember what life was like before the worldwide pandemic, COVID-19? The people of God gathered and worshiped together in churches. It was wonderful. It seemed that we were going in the right direction. for the most part. But when the pandemic hit, it seemed to come out of nowhere, and slowly it moved and crept in. And then, from seemingly moving slowly, creeping into our countries, our work environment, and our churches, it took hold quickly. And the church, speaking specifically of the church was pushed out into the world. No longer protected inside the four walls of the building that Christians would call their church their home. They were no longer allowed to gather in groups, no longer allowed to come together to worship their God. In fact, in some countries, in some places around the world, pastors and priests were threatened with jail time if they did not obey the law and stop holding church services. This wasn't the first time that God did this to his church, to his household, where he scattered his people into the world. To you and I, this seems cruel, hard, rash. If you'll turn to your Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 8, this is what it says. This is at the beginning of the church. And it says it this way. The people of God had been scattered into the world. They were no longer allowed to gather, to worship God, to sing songs, to get together and to encourage one another. They had been scattered because of this persecution of the Christians at that time. Now, if you go down to verse 14, and I want to encourage you to read that entire chapter in Acts chapter 8. Just read that entire chapter and see what God was doing with his people. In verse 14, this is what it says. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. Now, it says when they heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message. So they heard this. The apostles in Jerusalem did not go to Samaria. They heard that they had accepted the message of Jesus Christ. The question is, who took them God's message? It was the people that were being persecuted, the people who were told that they couldn't have church any longer. And if they dared to gather together to worship God in any building, any congregation, in any way, they would be jailed. These very people were once part of the church that was in Jerusalem. They were pushed out into the world. And everywhere that they were scattered, they spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, since they were so far away from what they once had, that church family, that church building, their pastor, their priest, they had to stop looking to their pastor. They had to stop looking to their priest to lead the way. They had to spiritually mature and know who they were, who they are in Christ. And that's when God began to use them. Now, doesn't that sound similar to what has happened to us today? Here we are after COVID-19. All over the world, the church looks different today. People are meeting online, posting and sharing their faith on the internet. The people of God are using new technologies to reach the lost. Technologies that were not used to their full potential before COVID-19. These technologies are now being used to reach the lost by individuals such as you. God has changed your heart and your thoughts and the way you think about reaching the lost. And God has many of you sharing the gospel using this new technology. And God has caused you to open up your Bible and start to read again and to study and to take in those living words that are written there for you. The people of God are no longer waiting for Sunday church services and special Christian holidays to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The people of God are taking a stand and taking their place in this new era. So as the people of God were scattered and pushed out into the world during the pandemic, COVID-19, those people entered a world that is lost, where the people don't know which way to go, which way to turn. They're grabbing and grasping at everything. Many in this world, all over this planet, these people who are lost, they identify themselves with the opposite sex. They don't even know if they're a man or a woman any longer. And if the mood hits them, they identify themselves as non-gender, neither male nor female. This lost world has turned to pagan gods and to science for their hope. They pridefully call themselves pagans as they worship rocks, stones, and trees. Even those who call themselves scientists worship the stars. They profess that because of their great knowledge and understanding of the universe, they have concluded that there is no God, and that we came from the stars. These scientists would rather worship creation than the Creator. This world is becoming so perverse in its way of thinking, they are calling good evil and evil good. This isn't the first time this has happened. This happened thousands of years ago, just as it's happening today. Isaiah says it this way, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. During the time of Isaiah, he was seeing his nation change. The government was changing, and it was becoming corrupt and evil. Adultery, murder, sexuality, it was all becoming warped and twisted. And the people began saying that good was evil and evil was good. In fact, this is how Isaiah spoke to them back then. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, he said unto them, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You see, back in his time, just as it is today, what was once considered good and pure is now called evil. And what was once respected is now hated. And this is happening all over the world. It is here, right now, in this time, that God is revealing his desire for his people to mature beyond the servant relationship, beyond the child of God relationship, for the people of God to become spiritual adults. You heard me right. To become spiritual adults, to mature. The scripture says it this way. In fact, Paul says it to the Corinthians like this. If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things." It's time for the people of God to mature into spiritual adulthood. And hear what I'm saying. I am talking spiritual adulthood. You could be 60, 70 years old or older and still be an infant child of God instead of spiritually mature. We are called to leave behind a child's way of thinking and to let those things go. And I'm talking here spiritually right now. To move on beyond the way we were first taught and to mature into what God has waiting for us. To leave behind the child way of thinking and the servant mentality way of thinking. And you heard me right. To move on beyond the servant way of thinking. And I'm going to address that right now. In fact, I'm going to use scripture because Paul talks about it's time for us to move on from being servants and to move on from thinking like servants. But as we move away from the servant way of thinking, what do we move on to? I'm going to show you here in a minute that Paul teaches that being a servant is like being a child, an infant. So what do we mature into? So we're servants of God, but what do we mature into? We move into the next relationship that God has prepared for us, which is a child of God. So we move from being a servant of God into a child of God. And from the child of God, we mature into the friend of God. And where do we go from being a friend of God? We move to this last relationship that God has created for us called the Bride of Christ relationship. And each of these relationships are unique to themselves. They come with their own unique benefits, power, and authority. The servant relationship does not have the power and authority of the child of God relationship. The friend of God relationship does not have the power or authority of the bride of Christ relationship. But each relationship is important to you because each relationship teaches and prepares you for the next relationship with God. In fact, each of these relationships teach you and begin to instruct you in the language of God and God's culture so that you can move on to one day actually speaking God's language and living in God's culture instead of God speaking your language and living in your culture. You see, you were created in God's image. You were not created in a servant's image. And God is bringing you back to speak His language and to live in His culture because that's where He created you. Now, where did this all begin? It began with Jesus changing your relationship with God. That's right. Because when Jesus came, Jesus called Himself the Son of God, which He is. But no one in the time that Jesus lived or in the centuries past called themselves the Son of God. Jesus taught us that we are sons and daughters of God. But then He took it even further. He changed your relationship from being a servant to being a friend. You have been called to be the friend of God. John 15, verse 15. And here's what Jesus says. I no longer call you servants, because a master doesn't confide. A king has no confidence in his servants. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Now this is Jesus changing the relationship. Jesus came along and changed the relationship from servant to a child of God. And now He's adding another relationship, the friend of God. And He's telling His servants, His disciples, hey, listen, you are my friends if you do as I command. So this is a command. It's not that Jesus is asking you. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm changing everything that's going on here. And those of you who know Scripture, you know that when God comes along, He'll change your name. He'll change your life. He'll do what He needs to do to get you where you need to be. And here's what Jesus Christ did for us. He said, you didn't choose me. If you keep reading from John chapter 15, verse 15 on to 16, He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. So God changed your relationship with Him. He says, you're no longer a servant. And he tells them why. Because a king, a master does not confide in his servants. He doesn't trust them. But you're my friends because I share everything with you that the Father has told me. You are my friends. Now, understand something here, and I want to say this here. I know that this is a difficult message here because many of us, and I'm one of them, I was taught and raised in the servanthood mentality. I was taught to be a good and faithful servant. I must be meek and humble, and that the day that I stand before the Lord, the greatest thing for me to hear is that God would say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is not the greatest thing that you could hear God say to you. Because if God says to you, well done, good and faithful servant, then you were not listening to what God wanted you to do. Because God said in John chapter 15, verse 15, I no longer call you servant. But if you're waiting and listening and hoping to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant, then you're not understanding the language of God or the culture of God. And that's very deep, people. I'm telling you right now, God is changing what man has taught for centuries and saying to you and I made you my child and I made you my friend. It's time for us to mature into the other relationships that God has created for us to draw us closer to Him. Now, the king-servant relationship, its purpose is to instruct us on the basic spiritual principles of this world. It's the beginning, And it's the first relationship we enter when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are not to stay there. When we become a newborn Christian, we have little knowledge and understanding of the basic spiritual principles of this world. And you can find that in Galatians chapter 4. You can read that whole chapter, but in verse 3, it says this here. And this is Paul. We were servants, slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. Now, I address this teaching in my podcast called Faith or Works. If you'd like to look that up, just go to my website and look for Faith or Works, and I talk about that. And I show how we are to live in this natural existence and how we are to live in the spiritual existence at the same time, how we are to be balanced. Now, in verse 4, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were servants, who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Verse 7, now you are no longer a servant. You are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Now here's the difference between a child of the household of God and a servant of the household of God. And Jesus says it this way in John chapter 8, verse 34. I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave, a servant of sin. A slave, a servant, is not a permanent member of the family, but a son, a daughter, is part of the family forever. Also go over to Galatians chapter 4, verse 30. And this is Paul speaking. But what do the scriptures say, speaking of Abraham? It says, get rid of that servant, that slave, and her son. For the son of that servant woman, that slave woman, will not share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Verse 31, Paul is still speaking here. So dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the servant woman. We are not children of that slave woman. We are children of the free woman. And this is one main difference between being a servant of God or being a child of God. The servant has no place in the household of God, but the child is there forever and inherits those things of the Father. Part of your inheritance in becoming a child of God is that you receive the Spirit of God, and that Spirit in you calls out to God the Father, Abba. Not Daddy, not Papa, not behaving as an infant. I know there's a lot of teaching out there that they go around, they say, they call God in their time of prayer, they call him Papa, Daddy. They say that the scripture means that there's this intimacy of an infant child. But I want to encourage you to go beyond that, because that is not where God is calling us to be, and that is an infant child. God is calling us to be an adult, mature, spiritually child of God. Think of this, for those of you who have children, when your adult child comes to you and they call you Daddy, they call you Papa, or whatever that name is that they used to call you when they were children, you know that they're just being playful with you. But when they come to you and they speak to you and they say, Father, can I talk with you? Father, can I speak with you? Or they come to you and they say, Father, I did this today and I did that today. Notice the difference. What parent out there wants their adult children calling them Papa, Daddy? None of us, because we want our children to become adults, to grow and take care of themselves and their children and be a part of this world, this existence, to make a change, to enter into the work that you have left for them. And in a similar way, God has called us. God has removed us from being servants and pulled us in, adopted us. As it says, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, he's adopted us as his children, no longer servants, no longer slaves, and said, hey, I am your father and you are my child and you will inherit all that I have, but the servant will not. The servant is not part of the house. Jesus is the one who says that in John chapter 8, verse 34. He says, the servant is not a permanent member of the family. They just aren't. So if the servant relationship is not permanent, God is calling us to mature and to progress into the next relationship, which he has already called us his children. So one of the signs of you and I becoming adult spiritual children of God is that we call God Father, not Daddy, not Papa, not whatever, any of these names. It's time for you and I to mature, to become adults, and to enter into the work of God. I just want to make this point again. The servant does not call God Abba. They do not call God Father. They call God Master or King. Now, before we can inherit all that is given to us as children of God, we must learn the basic principles of the King-servant relationship, because that's where we all start. As the scripture says, we were servants, slaves to sin. But when Christ redeemed us, bought us back, we still had the same mentality of being a servant, a slave. And so in that understanding, God spoke to us in that language until we learned, until we matured, until we could understand that we are children of God, adopted into the family, no longer servants. Now that you understand and you've received that knowledge, it's time for you to set aside, to move on beyond being a servant, because you are no longer a servant. Understand this. The servant relationship is necessary until we mature as adult children of God. And until that time, that moment, we are the same as servants in the household of God. And here's what Paul says. Paul talks about this. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now, I am saying, so long as the child of God is underage, there are no differences from a servant of the house. Now, let's stop here for a second. Paul is saying that as long as a child of God is underage, so he's talking about an infant child. He's saying, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to walk, talk. You're a child. You're an infant. He says it right here. As long as the child of God is underage, that's in verse 1, Paul says that they are equated. They are equal. The comparison here is that a child of God is equal to an adult servant of the house of God. Did you hear that? This is Paul saying this, that a child of God is equal with an adult servant of the household of God, a child, an infant. But then Paul goes on to make the distinction, and he says, even though the child of God has guardians over them and are considered equal as a servant while they are infants, yet the child of God is part of the family forever and the heir to all that the Father has provided. But none of this belongs to the servant. That's a big difference between the servant of God and a child of God, is that the child of God will inherit all this and stay in the household of God forever. A servant doesn't. Remember what Jesus said about the servant, the slave. The servant has no place in the family, no place in the household. They have no inheritance. John chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Are you beginning to see how Jesus is moving us away from being a servant to a child of God, then to a friend of God, and then finally to the bride of Christ? You were created to be more than a servant. Let's return back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 2. Instead, they are put under guardians and managers until the date set by their father. Verse 3. So also, when we were underage, when we were infants, we were subservient to the basic principles of this world. Who learns the basic principles of this world? The servant does. When we first come to Jesus Christ and we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we enter into servanthood. We come in under the king-servant relationship, the master-servant relationship, and we begin to learn the basic principles of this world. Now, the Holy Spirit is our teacher and leads us into spiritual adulthood. So as we mature by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, we move from being servants to children of God, infant children of God, to adult children. But here's the thing. We are not to remain infant children. Paul states in Galatians chapter 4, verse 2, that when the time comes that the Father has set for the child of God to receive their inheritance, you see, the Father has set a time for you to mature into spiritual adulthood so that you will receive your inheritance. Many Christians don't understand this. They believe that being a servant of God is the highest goal to achieve. But they don't understand that the servant of God is just the first relationship, the beginning. And we must mature from that relationship to the next. Remember, being an infant child of God, and this is Paul sharing this, is the same. It's equated as being an adult servant in the house of God. It's time for you and I to wake up. It's time for us to realize, it's time for you to realize who you are. You are more than a servant. You are not looking to hear from God, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because God has made you His child. Which one of you out there, which one of you parents out there will look at your beautiful child and say, "Hey, you're my servant"? No. You won't do that. And if you, being flesh and blood and corrupt, would treat your children that way, how much more will the Creator of all things, the one who said, "I made you in my image," not call you servant? He will call you His child. He will give you His name, His power, His authority. It's time for you to move on beyond being the servant of God and become the child of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to, even as I'm sharing with you, allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and to instruct you so that you can take hold of your inheritance that is waiting for you, because you can't take the inheritance if you're a servant, because the inheritance isn't designed for the servant. It's for those who are of the household of God, His children, you, His son, His daughter. It is time for you to receive your inheritance, to take on the name of your Father, to take on His authority, His power, and His wealth. That is your inheritance. Paul made it clear to the people that he was speaking to that there is more waiting for you as a child of God than a servant of God. Jesus made it clear, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends." As long as you choose to be a servant, and understand this, you are choosing to remain a servant because this is what you've been taught for centuries. You will not attain the maturity of becoming a spiritual adult child of God. Your inheritance waits for you. If you choose to remain a servant, you will not be able to move on to becoming spiritually mature. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to step into the next relationship that God has prepared for you? Long before you were born, long before you stepped on this earth, God had already planned this for you. Are you ready? A new generation has grown up not knowing God in the servant relationship. They do not have a desire to be servants. God spoke that this change was going to happen, and God Himself would make the changes. Thousands of years ago, God said He would do this. Hosea chapter 2, verse 16, if you go there, God is speaking to his people in a prophetic way. And he says this, On that day, you will no longer call me master. You will no longer call me king, but you will call me husband. And there is a great mystery that lies there, and I'm going to share that with you in one of these messages. But I want you to see that thousands of years ago, God had already planned it. Even before this scripture with Hosea, God has it already in the plans that the servanthood mentality, the relationship, God was done with it. It was going to be wiped away. God created you in his image, not a servant. You are the generations that will not know God as master or as king. You will know God as a friend. And then as you mature, you will know God as a husband. And it's not as a husband in human terms. It is in the culture of God that this word, this relationship, husband, is defined. Now, before I go, I hope that this message has upset your sensibilities and that it has challenged you. You are the generation that God has called you to be his friend. You are the generation God has called you to be his bride. It's all waiting for you. Are you ready? And as I have shared, I hope that this message has provoked you to seek of the Holy Spirit if this is true. For many of you, this teaching has been difficult to hear, but it was necessary for you to grow. For some of you, it's about asking the Holy Spirit to make you a new wineskin so you can hold the new wine that is being poured into your spirit. Some of you have been waiting to hear this teaching for a very long time. You have sensed in your spirit that you are more than a servant of God. And for others of you, this is the first time that you've heard a message like this. And a desire has been provoked in you to come and be a part of the family of God. I'd like to lead you in a prayer to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And for those of you who are looking for prayer for the Holy Spirit to help you in what you are learning and receiving, join me in this prayer. Repeat after me. Jesus, I come before you. With all my failures and my brokenness, I stand here before you just as I am. Forgive me of my sins and restore to me what has been lost. Give me a new mind to understand, a new heart to believe. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit and fire. I accept your forgiveness, Jesus, and receive your Holy Spirit into my life. Now, for those of you who are Christians, please repeat after me. Holy Spirit, help me understand this new relationship of being your friend. Teach me, Holy Spirit, the language of God, so I may spiritually mature and become your friend, to live and walk with you as your friend. In your name, I ask all these things, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please share it with one person this week. Let them know that God is still in control. Many of you have asked, how can you help this small ministry reach the world? The best and easiest way is to become a monthly subscriber at thewisdomofgod.church. All one word. When you do, your paid subscription goes to helping this small ministry grow and reach the world with the message of Jesus Christ. Simply head over to thelanguageofgod.net, then click on Premier Access and subscribe. I thank you in advance for your help. Thank you, my friends. If you have any comments or questions, direct them to the email provided on thelanguageofgod.net website. When contacting me, please include the podcast title you are commenting on. Smile again. Laugh again. Believe again. Break free of the things holding you back and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up. Dust yourself off and get back into the race. I encourage you to live, to embrace your destiny, If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life that flows from the throne of God. I say, come and drink. Have a great day, and remember, you are not alone.